You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06, and it is Friday morning, May the 2nd, 2025, and it's another beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're spending your mornings, listening across the Civic Media Radio Network or on the Civic Media app, catching us by YouTube or Facebook or by podcast. We appreciate you starting the day and wrapping up the work week right here. I've got a question for you. How great is it to hear cardinals and other songbirds when you head out to the car in the morning? Isn't it great? I love spring in Wisconsin when you can hear the cardinals are doing their thing up here on the lake. Way better than hearing the wind chill as the snowflakes blow sideways right into your garage as you open it up and hit you in the face before you can even get in your car, right? This is the way to go. Fishing opener this weekend. Spring is definitely here. Coming up, we got another question for you. Are you ready to see Wisconsin's next Fox News personality? Because he's taking his audition to the race for Wisconsin governor next year. I'll tell you all about the new candidate in the race. What else? Motherhood. Is any concept more American and more worthy of respect from our elected leaders? Not that that matters to Robin Voss, the Speaker of the Assembly, who is single-handedly blocking a bill to better protect new moms from health crises. We'll talk to Dr. Kristen Lyerly about that, as well as Emily Cephos, about that bill and another bipartisan proposal at the Capitol, providing better coverage for the kinds of diagnostic mammograms that are proven to save lives. Also, give the White House some credit for a little bipartisanship. What do I mean? I mean businesses, workers, consumers, pundits have all united around the notion that the Trump tariffs are off target and causing real harm. We will review this week's developments with Courier Newsroom's Kia Vakil and a couple of our Courier Newsroom colleagues from our outlets in Michigan and New Hampshire. With our Week in Review panel, we will warn you, please do not try to parody the New York Times. It is no longer possible. Its 100-day coverage of the Trump White House concludes with a review of the administration's style. An administration where looking the part is crucial to playing the part. We will try to find the nuggets amidst this week's sludge of national media coverage from our panel. And Brittany Merlot will have our weekend forecast, and Dan Schumacher will be along to talk about sports. But getting to Brittany in that forecast, she tells us that statewide rain will stick around on occasion today before high pressure nudges in and tries to dry us out for the weekend, and then warmer temperatures, a pleasant stretch of warmer temperatures, is right around the corner. But for today, cloudy and cool, scattered showers up north in the morning, working their way south by afternoon. Highs today in the mid-40s up north, the mid-50s south, a north wind today at 10 miles an hour. Tonight, partial clearing with frost likely in spots. Lows in the low 30s up north, low 40s south, with a northeast wind at 5 to 10 miles an hour. Temperatures across the state range from 37 in Superior to 52 in Prairie du Chien. And across the Civic Media Radio Network, the temps look like this. It's 48 here on Lake Wissota, 45 in Amory, 45 in Hayward, 43 in Amory. Wausau's at 45, Rapids 46, La Crosse is at 50 degrees right now. It's 45 in Green Bay, 48 in Madison, and 45 in Milwaukee, where from Radio Park we welcome in one Greg Bach.
Hello.
To wrap up his work week and start his work weekend.
Yep.
as is his way, because he's a hard worker man.
Yeah, this is going to be a long weekend.
So, hard worker man, what are you working on this weekend? Probably at a place called the Laughing Tap?
Yes, indeed. Sorry, I'm just now I'm thinking about the weekend. Now I'm getting tired already because I'm old. But yeah, we got four shows at the Tap this weekend with Louis Katz. He's been here before. Louis Katz is a New York comedian, very, very funny. Released a special called "The Greatest Comedian You've Never Heard Of," and he is well known in the community and very, very funny. We're very excited to have him back this weekend. 7:30 and 10 o'clock are the shows. LaughingTap.com for tickets. $22 online, $25 at the door. No drink minimums. Come on down. Have some fun. Oh, my God.
Tell Greg to take a break on Sunday. Take it easy.
No break on Sunday. Sunday is actually just, if not busier than Friday and Saturday. So, but I get to see the new Marvel movie on Sunday. I'm excited about that.
What is that called? Thundercats?
Okay. I feel like you did that on purpose.
Thunderbolts. No. I really didn't. Thunderbolts, right?
Thunderbolts is the name of the film. Okay. Yep.
Yes. I noted that on one of the TV newscasts early this morning, and I thought, oh, I don't even know this part of the Marvel universe of movies, but yeah, you're looking forward to it, so clearly there's an audience out there.
And it's getting great reviews, which is good, because Marvel is kind of the past couple of years.
Yes. I mentioned it only very briefly in passing at some point this week that Superman is coming out this summer.
Yep.
That's supposed to be the big blockbuster for the DC universe.
Yes, and I'm very much looking forward to that.
Yes. So we've got the Marvel universe, we've got the DC universe, and did you know there's also the Pat Kreitlow universe?
What, the PKU?
The PKU?
That sounds like a North Korea party.
Yeah, that does, doesn't it? Maybe we won't go with that. We don't have the Dear Leader thing going on over here.
The Pat Kreitlow cinematic universe.
What I mean by that is, first off, the folks at Courier Newsroom, and again, I'm very grateful, but they said, nope, we're changing the name of the show. It's now Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. You know, you've built up this trusted brand. We're going to do that. Great. Thank you. I've managed to screw up the name 3 times in the past 2 days.
Oh, my God.
Then we've got our new weekend newsletter that comes out on Sunday mornings. And it started in late January with the very generic Up North News Politics Edition, as opposed to all the, you know, the softer feature stories that Christina Laurie does Monday through Friday. So it's Up North News Politics Edition. And this Sunday, you'll notice a different banner up there. They've taken the Mornings with Pat Kreitlow from the radio show, and they've taken that and they've slapped that logo up at the top of the Sunday morning newsletter. Now it's be called Sunday Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Ooh.
And in the note, they talked about how it expands the Pat Kreitlow universe. I'm like, there's a Pat Kreitlow universe? All right. Wow.
Had I known that, I would have been like, during the entire explanation, I would have been playing some like dramatic music behind you.
What, like the Empire?
No.
The like Imperial March or something?
Or just something simple. Just like, welcome to the Pat Kreitlow universe. Sundays, politics, coffee, your robe, Pat Kreitlow universe.
Question of the week. Bad puns.
Question of the week.
I should have you do a trailer for me. Oh. You know, the way I've been wording it is, you know, the Up North News franchise is growing with the newsletters. Christina has a new sports newsletter. You know, we're adding all these things to the Up North News franchise. So when I saw the Pat Kreitlow universe in there, I was like, that's not how I would have worded it, but okay, you know, whatever works for the company. And if the company says we're doing this, I say okay. Thank you.
I'm a company man.
I'm a company man, if nothing else. And we'll probably mention this again 2 hours from now when Kristen Lyerly and Emily Cephos are on, just so that you can see the difference between two guys talking about this and the way those two ladies are just going to completely bring me back down to earth. And make sure I don't get too full of myself as we talk about this.
Don't forget your raisin.
My raisin?
Don't forget your raisin. Don't forget how you were raised.
Oh, my raisin.
Yeah,
yes.
Your raisin.
Oh, no. I never forget my roots. Never forget where I come from. 855-75-CIVIC. If you, too, would like to, you know, make sure that my ego doesn't get ahead of things. Daniel says, morning. Thank you, Daniel. Appreciate that very much on YouTube. You can also join us in the comment sections on Facebook and YouTube. And again, we We expanded. Now, this isn't the Pat Kreitler universe. This is the Civic Media universe expanding that we're talking about, because we're now not only on the Up North News Facebook page and YouTube page and the Civic Media Facebook page, but we are now on the Civic Media YouTube page. So, I mean, we are just a bad penny. You cannot shake us, man. We're gonna be everywhere before this is all done.
Oh my God, I'm part of the PKU and the CMU. I'm like a crossover. Right. Oh, cool. Yeah.
You can also email the show radio@upnorthnewswi.com. And of course, for more about Civic Media, head over to civicmedia.us. Do you know what I missed in sports because the Bucks went out with such a whimper? Is that I didn't see until last night a note that the LA Lakers actually did get eliminated by the Minnesota Timberwolves.
I could.
As I saw that on TV yesterday, while I was watching, I don't know, either hockey or basketball playoff stuff, and I'm like, they did?
Did you hear the news that the Brewers got blanked by the White Sox?
Well, I suppose I could have mentioned that too, but I wanted to get that weird note out of the way. Yeah, let's go for that one. The Brewers have limped home after their longest road trip of the season, losing to the lowly White Sox 8-0. And they finished their 10-game journey to Chicago, St. Louis, and San Francisco by going 4-6. So now the Brewers are sleeping in their own beds, but it is still kind of a road trip given how many Cubs fans will be at American Family Field for the weekend. Yeah, I know, but remember, everybody, if you're going out there, play nice, be welcoming. We are who we are.
And okay, whatever.
And we're better than that. Coverage begins at 6:35 on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine, Kenosha, Park Falls, and Hayward. So there you go.
Yeah,
Brewers and Cubs. After a road trip like that, it'll be nice to have a divisional game to look forward to, a little division rivalry.
It's just the White Sox were 7-23 before that game, and now they're 8-23 because of us. It's just so sad.
I know, but it's a long season, and some days you can't put it together, and that seems to be the way that it went in yesterday's game. Yeah. Had it on in the background, you know, I can see it out the corner of my eye if I leaned forward a little bit, and I didn't do that very much. After the first couple of innings, I'm like, oh, this is not going to go well. And it did not.
No.
But now we can catch up, gain some ground on the Cubs. And Dan Schumacher will no doubt talk about that at 7:50.
We got to gain some ground on the Reds because now we're in third place. Great.
Roger puts up on Facebook, wanted pitcher, apply at American Family Field. pitchers. We need pitchers. They keep getting hurt.
Yeah.
But let's see. I want to cover a few different things. There's some big stories, like a new candidate for governor that we'll talk about here. But there's also the success of the Brown County Tavern League from the NFL draft. They ran shuttle buses, so that people weren't driving after having a few beverages. And that was a big success. So we'll share those numbers at some point today. And then, are you familiar with the term granny flats?
No.
Well, it's got a fancier name too, but they're auxiliary dwelling units. Basically, if you were to put like a little apartment above your garage.
Oh, the mother-in-law suite.
Or the mother-in-law suite. Yeah, there's a story about that and whether, local governments in Wisconsin should be encouraging them or at least stop them from discouraging them. Yeah. And if you need to think of it instead of a granny flat, keep this in mind. Fonzie lived in a granny flat or a mother-in-law suite. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitler.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
We'll have Kia Vakil and a couple other colleagues from Courier Newsroom outlets in New Hampshire and Michigan Coming up in just about 15 minutes or so here on the program. A lot of folks were out yesterday for May 1st demonstrations of all sorts. A lot of folks in Hayward, Viroqua, Madison, and Milwaukee, of course. Saw a few other social media posts from around the area, and I always appreciate seeing those up and seeing so many people so active in paying attention to what's happening in Washington, in Madison, and even in our local courthouses now, where we have judges that are increasingly concerned about security and intimidation. To that end, there is now an official candidate running for governor of Wisconsin next year on the Republican side. We had told you earlier that there is a manufacturing CEO from Oconomowoc, I believe, that has formed a political action committee and may run. But Washington County Executive Josh Showman has now filed the actual paperwork to run for governor. And according to a story in the Journal Sentinel, he is expected to announce his bid at an event on Sunday. Showman's the first candidate to officially jump into the 2026 race without yet knowing whether Democratic Governor Tony Evers will seek a third term or not. So there's plenty of uncertainty about this race, and the governor made it clear again last weekend he's not going to make a decision until after the state budget is all done with. Showman knows how to get some attention. Let's put it that way. I'd go so far as to call it a Fox News audition based on, it's clear he watches it all the time. It's a steady stream of, you know, our freedom demands this. And, you know, freedom for him meant none of the safeguards that would save your life during the COVID pandemic. He was especially vocal in early 2021 about getting everything back to normal. It's all about, you know, the businesses. We got to get back to business. That mindset that I know I talked about at length back at the time, putting commerce and profits ahead of people's lives. And there were folks who were very much on the front lines of that battle, from Governor Evers trying to keep people safe and people like Josh Showman saying, nope, open it all up. And, you know, whatever happens to granny happens to granny. But there's more than that. And again, I say this as somebody who has worked in Washington County, worked at a radio station there, had it explained to me. And again, this was in the manager's words at the time. He said, you have to understand up here, and this was in the West Bend area, you know, this is the capital of white flight. And so if you're doing a call-in program and the phones are ever quiet and you want to gin things up, just say something nice about Milwaukee. And everybody will come calling in telling you how wrong they are and how terrible the, you know, Milwaukee is. And, you know, that certainly was the case in comments that Josh Showman made at one point talking about lead pipes. Lead water service lines and replacing them. And he was talking about how tough it had been for his area to get state aid because, how did he put it here? He said, we are too red, we are too white, and we are too green, meaning they vote too Republican, our skin is too white, and we have too much green in our pockets. And so we will not qualify for a nickel of that. So that's Josh Showman whining about not getting state aid because, in his words, we are too white. It's really not so much about skin color. As noted by Urban Milwaukee, Milwaukee has something like 70,000 lead lines that still need to be addressed. While in places like West Bend and a nearby township, they have 850. Where do you think the money's going to go? But it's worth whining about if it gets you attention, and it will, from a certain subset of the Wisconsin population. I'm sure that he will get plenty of TV time, if not starting this morning. It wouldn't surprise me a bit if he was on Fox and Friends or something like that this morning already. So in many ways, because this guy knows how to get attention, knows how to work the media, you should consider the 2026 governor's race underway right now. Like it or not. I mean, look, we already have three Democratic candidates running in the 3rd Congressional District, and I would not be surprised if there were more over there. These things are happening for much the same reason that people were marching and demonstrating yesterday. We are in a time of perpetual politics. in part because not just the divides that we have right now, but the actions taking place because of those divides. Let me tell you what I mean by that. First off, in the legislature, you have Republicans introducing a bill to roll back all kinds of state-level regulations dealing with business licensing, to environmental protections, to rules for childhood vaccinations. And again, they like to say things like, we have to get rid of regulations. When you hear regulations, again, just think of protections. Protection for consumers, protection for our children's health, protections for the environment. That's at the state level. Meanwhile, in Washington, the U.S. Senate has voted to kill some air regulations that the Biden administration put in place on 7 hazardous air pollutants. They voted to roll back rules on hazardous air pollutants. They've also released a memo, an email was released accidentally, that outlines their plans to end research on Head Start and other child safety net programs. All at the, oh wait, there's killing a VA program to help veterans avoid foreclosures. Here's another one, Trump canceling $1 billion for youth mental health. Is there anything? Oh, the House rejecting a ban on deporting U.S. citizens. And then this, Trump wants a military parade on his birthday, June 14th, also the Army's birthday. A big military parade that could in the end cost taxpayers tens of millions of dollars. The stuff that we're cutting, you know, from Head Start and everything else. Our Kia Vakil and the rest of our Courier Newsroom colleagues are coming up next, right after the Midwest Farm Report, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlum. Coming up in less than an hour, our Week in Review panel with journalist Mark Jacob and Jennifer Schulze and former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel. In our 8 a.m. hour, Dr. Kristen Lyerly and Emily Cephos. But right now it's time to check in with my colleagues at Courier Newsroom, a pro-democracy news network that brings you up north news here in Wisconsin and some other fine outlets like the Gander in Michigan and the Granite Post in New Hampshire. Courier Newsroom political editorial director Kia Vakil is here from Los Angeles. Hello, Kia.
Hey, Pat. Is that my title this week?
Yeah. I'm just every week, I'm just going to pick a different title for you because you have to do them all anyway. From the aforementioned Granite Post is the chief political correspondent, Colin Booth.
Hello. Hey, Pat.
How are you?
Awesome. And a big, mighty northern hello to the good people of Wisconsin.
Hey, thank you. And our friend Kyle Kaminsky is back from the Gander. In what city, Kyle? I don't know that I've ever asked.
The capital city of Lansing.
Of Lansing. Well, of course. All right. Kyle and Colin and I each wrote up pieces for our respective outlets about the 100-day mark for President Trump and what it's meant in each of our states. And we'll get to that in just a little bit from each state. But Kia, as usual, we'll start with you as our political correspondent on national matters. And of course, one of the newest things is that it's been long enough now since the scandal over the Signalgate that only now it appears Michael Waltz is on his way out as Trump's national security advisor.
Yeah, news broke that Waltz is out along with one of his deputies. And, you know, this is pretty clearly the aftermath of the Signal debacle. I think it's notable that, you know, finally there was someone who, you know, ended up getting the blame for it, essentially. And it's notable to me that it's not Pete Hegseth. I think Waltz clearly must have not done a good enough job of repairing the damage from this. And, you know, comically, he gave up a very, very safe seat in Congress to serve all of 3 months in the White House.
But it's not just Michael Waltz being shown the door. Elon Musk kind of got a valedictory in this week's cabinet meeting, but apparently from Tesla as well, if the rumors are to be believed.
I think they very much overread the election results as a mandate to come in and take a sledgehammer to everything. You know, I think there was a desire for anti-institutional like rebuilding, but not to break it and not replace it with anything. And so what we're seeing is obviously people hate Elon Musk. People are not that jazzed about the first couple months of the Trump administration. You know, Musk may go back to Tesla. There's rumors that Tesla is searching for a new CEO. You know, it'll be interesting to see what happens. But I think all of it's a sign that the first 100 days of the Trump administration, which we marked this week, were not quite what a lot of people were hoping for.
No, what a lot of people didn't expect, including supporters of the president. And so that takes us to Kyle and Colin and our stories about 100 days in. Kyle, how would you describe the thrust of your 100-day story in terms of how Trump's moves have been felt in Michigan since he took office?
Pat, the clearest thing that I think we're seeing in Michigan is that the promises Trump made to working families are falling apart. I mean, unemployment spiked to 5.5% now. We're at one of the highest rates in the country. Auto plants are being idled. These tariffs have triggered layoffs in manufacturing and parts suppliers. Families who voted for Trump expecting relief are seeing rising prices and shrinking job prospects.
I mean, you saw and you've been covering the protests in Michigan about Medicaid and proposed cuts there. Again, same in Wisconsin. It's really struck a chord with, you know, regular folks with families who depend on Medicaid for health insurance coverage. And people are definitely not afraid to speak to you and others to speak out about this.
No, I mean, I've talked to people across the state, and one thing's clear, Medicaid isn't some handout. It's a safety net that working families, seniors, parents, even small business owners are using. I think people are, now that this conversation is happening more and more frequently, people are realizing how interconnected Medicaid is. I mean, it covers home health care for aging parents, prenatal visits for expecting moms, mental health services, addiction recovery, the list goes on.
Yes, it does. And Colin, same to you. First, let's start with the 100-day overview and what you think most folks in New Hampshire think about it since January 20th.
Yeah, things are not great. A lot of Granite Staters. We just got a poll back from the University of New Hampshire. A huge majority of Granite Staters really against these tariffs, especially the Canadian tariffs, the 25% tariffs on Canadian goods. You know, New Hampshire is a border state with Canada, and a lot of small businesses here and a lot of large businesses here deal with trade from Canada. So you were seeing a lot of, you know, timber suppliers, furniture stores, hotels, liquor distributors, all of these. We're just seeing a wealth of local reporting from these small businesses that, you know, the economic impacts of these tariffs here in New Hampshire, I mean, they're just going to be enormous.
Kia, there seems to be a through line here that whether you're an auto worker or you're working at one of these places in New Hampshire or in Wisconsin, I am not hearing people go, oh, thank goodness these tariffs are in place. Our industry is saved.
Yeah, no, I don't think anyone's doing that. I think something I've seen sort of all across the country is small business owners are terrified, even ones who supported Trump. Like, there is, you know, I think we haven't quite seen the full impacts of it because, you know, he's stopped and started so many times and because there is like a lag with supply chains. So a lot of people imported a ton of stuff in the first quarter. But, you know, I think we'll see a massive drop in that. And you'll start to see prices go up on a lot of things, you know, whether it's Canadian lumber or maple syrup, car parts. I know he's trying to give car companies in Michigan a little bit of a break so that they don't, you know, get totally devastated by them. A tax credit of some kind, I believe. Kyle can fact check me if I'm wrong. But it is very unpopular. And, you know, Trump is right that he did run on this. Like, he unambiguously ran on tariffs, but his actual tariff plan has been completely incoherent and not strategic. And, you know, I think you're going to start to see more and more stories come out from consumers, from small businesses, folks trying to buy stuff on outlets like Temu, where it's, you know, most of their products come from China. And so the products are twice as expensive as they would have been before. It's going to be interesting to see if he actually sticks to his guns on this or if he continues to back down when the data is spooking people.
Now, the next presidential election is well down the road. But as we know here in Wisconsin, I mean, we've already got three candidates in the 3rd Congressional District for an election in November of next year. So, Colin, being up in New Hampshire, it shouldn't surprise me to find that you can answer yes if I ask you if there's already been some sightings up there of people who might be thinking about 2028 already.
Yes, we just got a big, big visit from J.B. Pritzker, governor of Illinois. Huge speech, rankled Republicans, both at the local level and the national level. I mean, and really one of the better speeches. It was at a Democratic Party fundraiser. You know, the Democratic Party here tends to get pretty big names because of, you know, our first in the nation primary status. And I'll tell you, it was pretty surprising. He had local Democrats on their feet pretty much all night. He had some very strong words for fellow Democrats and maybe their unwillingness to be tough on Trump, be tough in this moment. And he also had some very strong words for the legacy Republicans are leaving behind, saying that, you know, a lot of these people are going to have their portraits hung in the halls of tyrants and traitors. And really very strong language. Local Republicans almost likened it to violence. It was ridiculous. I think they were feeling like they had to respond strongly and kind. But yeah, it was a very, very strong speech, very strong showing, and has created a lot of buzz for Pritzker, I think, nationally.
I appreciate the pause that you gave us when you started to say first in the nation primary. I want to assure you, Zachary and nobody else from Iowa is on this particular interview, so we don't have to pick that fight again with the Iowa starting line folks. But
it's not much of a fight these days. But
that's true. But Kyle, your governor is term limited, right? Gretchen Whitmer.
Correct.
And she's had a couple of, I guess I would describe them as awkward situations with Trump, once in the White House and once in Michigan this week, marking the 100 days. Now, she's term limited. How are people, are they talking about her as somebody that we should be, Colin should be looking for her in New Hampshire one of these days? Or has she already said she's, you know, going to hang up her shingle and go fishing or something?
You know, it's interesting. You know, this conversation of her at the White House and her interactions with Trump has been a lot of chatter lately. I'll say this, you know, I think that she's doing what strong governors should be doing, making sure that Michigan has a seat at the table. These meetings with Trump, whether people like it or not, are helping to deliver results for the state. And so, I mean, what stands out to me is the difference in leadership styles. So Trump can rack up layoffs with chaotic trade policies. Whitmer is in Washington making sure that Michigan gets its fair share of funding. In terms of the future, I mean, she's focused on her job as governor through the rest of her term, but certainly leaving the door open for future things. And I think this kind of reaching across the line is her attempt to maybe position herself for something in the future.
Maybe. And look, yeah, you're right. This is kind of chatter, kind of a parlor game thing. Last one I want to ask you about is something much more definite, and it's about Senate Democrats in Michigan wanting to invest something like $1 billion in education. And the number grabbed me because the Republican push for voucher schools in Wisconsin is closing in on $1 billion. We talked to our friends at Courier, Texas recently, where Republicans very explicitly want to put $1 billion into vouchers. So $1 billion investment in what I assume is mostly, if not all, public education in Michigan is kind of a refreshing counterbalance.
Yeah. No, I mean, this is a direct response to years of underfunding and burnout. Teachers have been leaving the profession. Buildings are really not in great shape. A $1 billion boost is about getting some results. And no, yeah, it's a big moment. I mean, like you mentioned, other places are throwing nearly $1 billion into vouchers. We're pushing to spend that same amount on public schools. So,
and by the way, Kia, getting all of this focus on J.B. Pritzker and on Gretchen Whitmer, you notice it's a focus. Democrats are looking anywhere but Washington.
Yeah, I mean, I think that is not surprising to me, given what we've seen from Chuck Schumer and some of the Democratic leadership in Congress. You know, I think there is a widespread perception that they have not been prepared or met the moment for the second Trump administration. And, you know, I think there's just a general dissatisfaction with folks in DC on both sides, but especially among the Democratic base with Democrats. And so I think they're looking for governors. They're looking for, you know, other state level executives or just like the rare member of Congress or senator who is actively, aggressively, you know, fighting back. I can count those people in the Senate on one hand, I feel like, and in the House maybe on two. So, yeah, it doesn't surprise me that folks like Pritzker and Whitmer are getting more attention. You know, Whitmer was always rumored as like a 20, you know, if Biden didn't run, a good 2024 candidate. I don't think it's a secret that she probably is not going to try to retire after she steps down as governor. But yeah, I think there's a hunger for someone to really fight back. And that's what we're seeing with, you know, all the governors, whether they're going to New Hampshire, launching podcasts, you know, trying to secure all sorts of trade things. It's going to be interesting to see who really takes that mantle.
Without a doubt. Kia Vakil, Courier Newsroom's national correspondent from L.A. You can read more at couriernewsroom.com. Colin Booth is at the Granite Post. Go to granitepostnews.com. And Kyle Kaminsky's with the Gander. Go to gandernewsroom.com to learn more about Michigan. Gentlemen, thank you all very much. Appreciate it. Have a great start to the weekend. We will be back with more right after this on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Those of you of a certain age, don't pretend that you didn't jam to this with your air guitar. This, of course, would be Jukebox Hero from Foreigner.
A band. It's a band. It's a band, not people. Don't get scared.
Yeah. Sorry, folks at ICE. Yeah, don't. Lou Gramm is 75 today. Don't know if you can hit this note. Maybe he can. I don't know.
It's really weird when nowadays when like singers hit a certain age and they can't, they were like, you know what, I love singing like this, but you know what else I love? Drugs, alcohol, and cigarettes. So then they're like, when they get to like of a certain age, they're like, they talk the lyrics. He had one guitar. Yeah. Like, oh, you can't sing that anymore, can you?
No. Neil Diamond was famous for that as the years advanced. Anyway, Lou Gramm, 75 today, born Louis Grammatico in Rochester, New York. Here's somebody else that changed their name and became a star. Engelbert Humperdinck is 89 years old today.
There's a stark difference. So I
send you to sleep. Yeah. After the I want to hear Lou Gramm sing this. And I want to hear Engelbert Humperdinck sing Jukebox Hero. And I hope
you're a jukebox hero, got stars in your eyes.
If you ever want, yes, Engelbert Humperdinck, not his birth name. His stage name is borrowed from the German composer of the 1893 opera Hansel and Gretel.
Wow. Okay, you're cultured, sir. We get it.
Yeah. It's not Engelbert Humperdinck. It's more than Arnold Dorsey, which is what he was born as, on this day in 1936.
Do you think he changed his name because there were already a few Dorseys?
Yes, Jimmy and Tommy. Yep. Could be. He did all right for himself. Many a hit.
Yeah.
many hotel keys and undergarments thrown up on stage during his prime. Look it up, kids. It's not just Elvis. Let's see. Leslie Gore of It's My Party fame. Dr. Lyerly's favorite singer was born this day in 1946. Larry Gatlin of the Gatlin Brothers was born in Seminole, Texas, 77 years ago today. Mika Brzezinski of MSNBC is 58 today. Dwayne The Rock Johnson is 53. And David Beckham is 50 years old today. We should look so good at 50.
Oh, spoiler alert, I will not. Okay.
On this day in 1997, the movie theater debut of Austin Powers, International Man of Mystery. This is Quincy Jones.
Do you ever see someone play one of those instruments that does that noise?
No, no.
It's like a little circular, like it looks like a bowl, and then there's a little stick popping out, and you just rub it the right way, and it makes noises.
It's like when you're like the way you annoy your sister when you're pulling a plastic straw out of like the cup.
Yes,
when
exactly.
It's exactly like that. Anyway, you know, Soul Bossa Nova, folks knew of it, but it really entered kind of the American consciousness and with this movie. But the song originally came out in 1962, the same year that the first James Bond movie came out that Austin Powers was spoofing as well as they did. Still, what a great first, what a great opening sequence to a movie.
Oh, yeah. Very fun.
For Austin Powers.
Don't remake them. Don't do more. Just let them, be.
No. Yes. Let it be. On this day in 1920, the first game of the Negro National League Baseball was played in Indianapolis. On this day in 2011, Osama bin Laden was finally located and killed by U.S. Special Forces in Abbottabad, Pakistan. The number one song this week in 1987 was by Cutting Crew.
Oh, bring it in, 80s.
Hey, do you know what this one? If you pull the straw out of your soda back and forth, you kind of make that sound too. Or at least you think so, and then your sister punches you in the arm.
Shut up, Greg. I love this band. They're great.
Oh, no. Cassandra puts up on YouTube, my mom never let me watch Austin Powers, so I really know nothing about it. It's awkward when people tell jokes from it, and I'm like, what? Greg has his hand raised.
I have a solution, Cassandra. And you can take any time, today, tomorrow, Sunday.
Yeah, come closer to the radio. We're going to tell you.
Come here.
Yeah.
Come here.
Okay.
Watch the movie whenever you want now. Because it's not the jokes still stand. The first one is still the best, and it's great. So watch it this weekend.
Yes, yeah, it does. It does definitely stand up. On this day in 1943, you've heard of banning books. Mm-hmm. A song was banned this day in 1943. One that was it had been a marching song for training some of America's airmen during the war, but it was determined that "Roll Out the Barrel" was too lusty as a marching song in 1943.
You know, that "Roll Out the Barrel," when I hear that song, I get randy as all get out. All right. Yep.
Cassandra says she's LAMO because it's hard to find time to watch the movie with two little kids. Again, Cassandra, let them watch the movie. You can never start too young sexually laced humor.
Yeah, they won't exactly. get the jokes either.
And then have much Blazing Saddles after that and really win Parent of the Year. Today's one of those days where I wonder on the national date calendar, did they just get mixed up or is this on purpose? It's both National Tuna Day and it's National Tuba Day.
Nice.
And I look at that and I go, did somebody just mess up and they just decide, we'll go with it. It's both Tuna Day and Tuba Day. So you cross-pollinate that however you want. It's also National Truffles Day,
the
mushroom.
Tuna, but tuba. But
the little chocolate treat, little chocolate balls, and I'm going to leave it at that. And then finally, somewhere along the line, this got declared as National No Pants Day, as kind of a joke, haha. Again, in this day and age, I would not recommend adhering to National No Pants Day, but totally your call to make.
You don't know if I'm celebrating or not right now, Pat.
That's same here. The camera shoots what it shoots. Still to come, our week in review panel in our 8 o'clock hour, Kristen Lyerly and Emily Cephos. We're just getting going with another one of those mornings powered by Up North News. I'm Pat Kreit.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.